Good morning, and welcome to our service of worship for this morning. It is good that we can gather in the presence of our Lord on this morning and offer him our praise and thanksgiving, for our God is indeed a good God and greatly to be praised. Special welcome to those who may be visiting with us here in the sanctuary this morning, and as always, welcome to those who are joining us in worship online, both members of the congregation and those who may be new to us. We're pleased that you are joining us this morning. Announcements were on the screens before you as you were gathering and are also printed in the bulletin. Lots of things kind of on the move, so please do take a moment to take a look at those things that are of most importance to you. The Magahi organ concert is going to be held this Friday evening, so upcoming on May the 1st at 7 p.m. We're pleased to welcome Manuel Piazza, the organist at St. Thomas's Anglican in Toronto, and a student in the School of Music at McGill as our recitalist this year. We are preparing for our graduate Sundays, the 10th of May for university and college graduates, and then later in June for high school. If you are aware of members of our congregation who are graduating either of those two levels of education, please let us know that we might reach out to them and get a photograph and to make note of their accomplishments on those two respective Sundays. The Faith and Nurture Committee is planning a movie night on April 29th. So that's Wednesday night. Same time as Bible study. I can't go. Oh man, we've got a movie night for Faith and Nurture. So please make note of that. Information is in the bulletin. And since we're talking about Bible study resumes this week. Two-week series on the reformer John Knox. So we look forward to having people gathering for that. Or at least if the material arrives on time, it begins this week. So always a little bit of a guessing game whether or not the calendar will race the curriculum. And finally, a note, sympathies of the congregation are extended to the family of Winona Johnson. Winona was a longtime member of St. John's, and she passed away this past week. Funeral arrangements have not been finalized, but once they are, we'll make them known to you. And then, whichever one of you wants to go first.
It gives me great pleasure to introduce you to Kelly Bradley. She will be filling in. Of course, Dan has been our custodian for about a year and a couple months, and he's going back into retirement. But he will be available to us on a consultation mode for any maintenance that we might need. So we'll have his wife, Kelly, and of course his daughter, Carly, who has been working for us as well. They're going to share the custodial duties. So I just wanted to say hi to Kelly. If you see her around this morning, please introduce yourself to her. Thank you.
Good morning. I have some great news to share too. I'm a member of the Presbytery's Refugee Committee. And if you remember, over the past maybe 10 years, we've settled a Syrian family of five and two other individual couples. I had an email from Reverend Marianne Carr. Emma Carr this week, and our presbytery was granted sponsorship spaces from the Presbyterian Church in Canada for a Pakistani Christian family of three, a mother, father, and 20-year-old son. And they fled Pakistan because of persecution on the basis of their religion. And I'll be giving you a little bit more information about them, hopefully in the next couple of weeks, in the bulletin. This settlement has come up quite quickly because there were some legal issues and they were finally resolved, but they're hoping to get their visas in the next few weeks and arrive in Canada in maybe 6 to 8 weeks. So as a committee, we're under the gun right now. We have to find housing. We have to furnish the housing. And we also will have to help them get settled. And Cornwall has been their community of choice, and they wish to attend, of course, our Presbyterian church here. This sponsorship is done in conjunction with Refugees for Refugees, which is a refugee sponsorship charity out of Toronto. And this agency will provide 12 months of financial support for the refugees, and the presbytery's role is settlement. So I guess you could say we got off easy this time. I think last time it was $30,000 we settled with for the family for a year. So in the next little while, I'll be asking for some help from the congregation, basically to furnish a two-bedroom apartment. They also may need temporary housing until we can find an apartment. As you know, real estate is pretty tight, but we've already had an offer from a congregational member for some temporary housing, which is wonderful. So please keep Pastor John and his family in their prayers as they have their orientation to Canada and hopefully arrive here sometime in the summer. Thanks.
Thank you, Jennifer and Cynthia. Yes, the arrival of the Mashir family will be a highlight for us here at St. John's, and we will be reaching out to members of the congregation in all kinds of different ways. So please do say yes when we touch you for something. And as Jennifer said, housing is one of the key things. So if you know somebody who rents apartments, we are going to start be looking for those at some point, as well as things like doctors and all of those things that happen when you move into a new community. So all of those things need to be put together in the next little while. As we come into worship this morning, we light the Christ candle as a visible sign that Christ is the light of the world. And in him, we place our trust and our hope. The call to worship for this morning is a responsive call and will appear before you on the screens. Let us stand as we come into the presence of our Lord this morning. We have been through much, but the Lord has been with us, and so we find peace and give thanks.
The Lord is our shepherd. We have everything we need.
Through shadow and light, through death and birth, through grief and joy, we have never been alone. We rest in that truth. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow us all the days of our lives, and we shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Let us come before God this morning in prayer. Let us pray. O God, how good it is to gather in your presence. More precious than gold or honey from the comb are your ways, most bountiful God. In this time of worship, help us to set aside all else that we may come into your presence with wonder and with awe. You have made us for this, to enjoy you and praise your holy name. Gladly we trust you, seeing you for who you are in Jesus Christ. For Jesus has opened the door to heaven, flung wide the gates, that all may enter the abundant life that is found in him. Holy Spirit, help us as we pray, that we may recognize the shepherd's voice and understand the meaning of God's word to us today. Speak to us, good shepherd, as individuals, but also as your flock, your family gathered here, that the bonds of fellowship we may share, reach, that in the bonds of fellowship, we may reach out to all. In the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Our opening hymn for this morning will appear on the screens. Be still for the presence of our Lord. The hymn will appear before you. We turn now to our time of confession. This morning's confession is responsive, so there will be parts for me and parts for you. Let us come now in prayer. The Good Shepherd calls to us. Merciful God, to walk paths of righteousness and enjoy your abundant life, we must follow you in trust and obedience.
Though you beckon us, we go our own way. Though you defend us, we are filled with fear.
You spread a table before us. Our cup overflows. In your mercy, forgive us, O Lord. Take us by the hand and guide us in your ways.
Help us to rest in your company and there learn to be grateful and generous.
Amen. Friends, the promise of our faith is that if we entrust ourselves to the one who judges justly, we need not feel threatened, for we will be returned to righteousness. Having been brought back into the safety of God's fold, let us share our peace with one another, and may the peace of God be with you all. Our next hymn is "The Lord is My Shepherd." And if you have a good memory, you will remember that we sing this as a round. So we're going to sing it through, what do you say, Olivia? A couple of times? Three times? Three. Olivia says three. And just to be different, because you guys always start, we're going to make this side start. So you will sing, "The Lord is my shepherd, I'll walk with him always." And when they get to the bottom of the first column and start singing the "always, always," that's when you shall start. Clear as mud, right? So we'll get, the choir will get this side started, and I'm going to stay over here with you all. So let us sing.
Shepherd, I'll walk with him always. He leads me by still waters. I'll walk with him always. Always, always, I'll walk with him always. Always, always, I'll walk with him always. The Lord is my shepherd. I'll walk with him always.
Excellent. Please be seated. Good morning. How are we doing this morning?
Good.
I'm pleased to hear that. It's another special day in church today.
Yeah.
Do you know what today is?
No.
Bet you don't. Oh, good morning. Wasn't sure if you were coming down or not. Special day in church today. The hint is in the hymns. Anybody else paying attention to what the hymns are today? Well, oh, did I hear it?
Shepherd,
you're right, Willem. It's Good Shepherd Sunday. We celebrate Good Shepherd Sunday every year on the fourth Sunday after Easter. But I don't have to tell you guys that. You know that, right? Because you're here every year. So by now you should have figured out, gee, we're doing Good Shepherd again. Fourth Sunday. Why do we do Good Shepherd Sunday? What do you think? Other than we get to sing all the Good Shepherd hymns. Anybody want to give it a try? The image of the shepherd, of course, you all know this, I know you do. The image of the shepherd is one of those enduring images that we use from Scripture. It talks about about God, about God's people. It talks about our relationship with Jesus. Right? It's a long, long history. All the way through our Bibles, we use it. We say it in Psalm 23. Right? The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. We're going to hear the Gospel of John in a little while here upstairs. Are we hearing Gospel of John downstairs this morning, Trish? Psalm 23. Yeah, see, you're going to do Psalm 23 downstairs. But Gospel of John that we're going to hear in a little while, going to do the same thing. Here's how important Good Shepherd is. There's even a window. There's even a window. Do you know where the Good Shepherd window is?
No.
It's right back there in the back corner. So as you go out, you'll have to pay attention. Stop and take a look. Trish will stop you so that you can take a look. But that's our Good Shepherd window here at St. John's. Most churches that have stained glass windows have a Good Shepherd window to help us remember that Jesus is our shepherd and we, like sheep, are to follow him in all of his ways. So that's what I wanted to share with you this morning. Good Shepherd Sunday. And you're going to learn all about that downstairs, just like we're going to learn all about that or some of it upstairs this morning. So have a good time in Sunday school, and we will see you afterwards. I can't wait to hear what you learn. And before we do the prayer of illumination, there was one announcement that I neglected to make this morning, which was sympathies of the congregation to Jeanette Secord and to Oren Splain. Jeanette's mother is Oren's sister, and she passed away this past week as well. So sympathies to both of them. Once more, let us come before God in prayer. Loving God, strengthen us through your Holy Spirit, that we might be devoted to the teachings of your word, that through it we may hear your voice calling us today. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
The first reading is from the Acts of the Apostles, reading verses 42 to 47, chapter 2. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and fellowship, to the breaking of bread and the prayers. Awe came upon everyone because many wonders and signs were being done through the apostles. All who believed were together and had all things in common. They would sell their possessions and goods and distribute the proceeds to all as any had need. Day by day, as they spent much time together in the temple, they broke bread at home and ate their food with glad and generous hearts, praising God and having the goodwill of all the people. And day by day, the Lord added to their number those who were being saved.
And reading from the First Peter chapter 2, verses 19 to 25. For it is a commendable thing if, being aware of God, a person endures pain while suffering unjustly. If you endure when you are beaten for doing wrong, what credit is that? But if you endure when you do good and suffer for it, this is a commendable thing before God. For to this you have been called, because Christ also suffered for you, leaving you an example so that you should follow in his steps. He committed no sin, and no deceit was found in his mouth. When he was abused, he did not return abuse. When he suffered, he did not threaten, but he entrusted himself to the one who judges justly. He himself bore our sins in his body on the cross, so that having died to sins, we might live for righteousness. By his wounds, you have been healed. For you were going astray like sheep, but now you have returned to the shepherd and guardian of your souls.
Once more, let us stand to sing hymn number 11 in the book of praise, "The Lord is my shepherd," hymn number 11. And this morning's gospel reading, given to us in the gospel according to John, John chapter 10, reading verses 1 to 10. Pardon me. John 10, beginning at the first verse. Very truly I tell you, anyone who does not enter the sheepfold by the gate, but climbs in by another way is a thief and a bandit. The one who enters by the gate is the shepherd of the sheep. The gatekeeper opens the gate to him, and the sheep hear his voice. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he has brought out all his own, he goes ahead of them, and the sheep follow him because they know his voice. They will not follow a stranger, but they will run from him because they do not know the voice of strangers. Jesus used this figure of speech with them, but they did not understand what he was saying to them. So again, Jesus said to them, "Very truly I tell you, I am the gate for the sheep. All who came before me are thieves and bandits, but the sheep did not listen to them. I am the gate. Whoever enters by me will be saved and will come in and go out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I came that they may have life and have it abundantly." Friends, this is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Slightly out of order this morning because our psalm is not really a read psalm this morning. We sing the psalm, which is Psalm 23 today. There is a refrain for the congregation, and Olivia and I will share the singing of the verses. So be prepared to come in with the refrain as it appears before you on the screen. Olivia will play through first, and then we will begin with the refrain.
Shepherd me, O God, beyond my wants, beyond my fears, from death into life. God is my shepherd, so nothing shall I want. I rest in the meadows of faithfulness and love. I walk by the quiet waters of peace. Righteousness and truth, my spirit shall sing the music of your name. Shepherd me, O God, beyond my wants, beyond my fears, from death into life.
Though I should wander the staff, my comfort and my hope.
Shepherd me, O God, beyond my wants, beyond my fears, from death into love. You have set me a banquet of love in the face of hatred, crowning me with love beyond my power to hold. Shepherd me, O God, beyond my wants, beyond my fears, from death into life.
Surely your kindness and mercy follow me all the days of my life. I will dwell in the house of my God forevermore.
Shepherd me, O God, beyond my wants, beyond my fears, from death.
Friends in Christ, what I say to you this morning is proclaimed in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Now, You may know Professor Hannah Fry. And if not by name, then because she shows up in your social media feed from time to time. Indeed, her social media presence is how she made it into the sermon this morning. Professor Fry is the professor of public understanding of mathematics at Cambridge University in England. And she appears often on radio and television in Great Britain and on your reels on Facebook or YouTube or whatever media you follow. This past week, I happened to stumble upon one of her little short excerpts concerning, of all things, your nose. In this excerpt, this little clip, Professor Fry was commenting on the fact that despite the fact that your nose is right there, it's right in the middle of your face, between both of your eyes, despite that fact, it never gets in the way when you are looking at something. In fact, when you're looking at things, you don't recognize that your nose is right there at all. Your brain edits your nose right off of your face. Unless, of course, you're wearing glasses, and then, well, something's got to hold them in place so that everything in the world isn't blurry. But when you're looking at things, your nose never gets in the way. Try it, because I did. I was sitting there, and I was kind of, and it's really hard to look at your own nose, because your brain just doesn't want to go there. Now, I mentioned Professor Fry and her observations on her nose, or your nose, or my nose, I don't know. Who knows? In either case, this morning, because as we turn to this reading from Psalm 23 that we've just heard over and over again, there is an important little phrase, it's tucked away in the heart of the psalm, that I'm going to suggest goes completely unobserved and unquestioned. Despite the fact that Psalm 23 may well be the most popular passage of Scripture in the Bible, it rests there, this little phrase, like your nose. Seeable but unobservable. Or is it unobservable but unseeable? I don't know. But anyway, first, a few comments on the psalm. As I just mentioned, Psalm 23 is indeed quite possibly the most well-known and well-loved passage of Scripture in all of the Bible. For those of us of a certain age, we may remember it because it's one of those first things that we memorized back in Sunday school in our youth. And it's amazing how often when we read the psalm, people read it with you from memory, which is really, really difficult because the version that we read and worship on a Sunday morning is not the one that we memorized all those years ago. But that, it leaves us undeterred. We continue, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." But more than just being something that we memorized back when we were kids to get that little star on the margin of our memory course book, Psalm 23 has remained well-known and well-loved because it speaks of the undeniable love and presence of God with us in all of our lives. It speaks of God's trustworthiness and God's caring, of God's sufficiency, and of our hope in God, who does not turn his back on us even when all others seem to press in against us. The words of Psalm 23 are powerful words. They have provided great comfort for people of faith throughout the eons. At first blush, Psalm 23 is so easy because it's so relatable. Perhaps that then we can be excused when we read it. It kind of, well, we read it idiosyncratically, don't we? We read it for ourselves and our own personal needs, and we put that into each verse. Psalm 23 isn't, but this is the important part, and I almost missed it, but Psalm 23 isn't about the reader at all. Psalm 23 is a powerful revelation about the nature of God. Remember that unobservable portion of the psalm that I mentioned earlier? Tucked in, right there at the end of verse 3, are these words. He restores my soul. He leads me in right paths for his name's sake. For his name's sake. In all of the times that you've read this psalm, how many times have you noticed those words, in his name's sake, and wondered, what did they mean? Why are they here in this psalm? I mean, there they are, as plain as the nose on your face. And yet, I would say for many of us, that they're just words that we have skimmed across as to get us from the green grass and the streams to the banquet table that the psalmist speaks of. But they are mostly unobserved. And yet, I'm going to argue for you this morning that these are the most important words to be found in Psalm 23. Because these words inform the reader that this psalm is a psalm of revelation about the nature and the purpose of God. It moves us away from the idiosyncratic into something greater and more universal. But to fully grasp this reality, perhaps it's helpful to look at where these words appear elsewhere in Scripture. You all know by now, right? Where have we heard this elsewhere in Scripture? My favorite question of biblical interpretation. And it just so happens that we've heard those words, that phrase, for his name's sake, elsewhere in Scripture. It appears in Ezekiel chapter 36. And I know Ezekiel's been in the news this week, not that passage, which didn't appear in Ezekiel at all. It's a great quote. I love it. But it's not in the Bible. But Ezekiel 36 says this. Therefore, say to the house of Israel, thus says the Lord God, it is not for your sake, O house of Israel, that I am about to do the act, but for the sake of my holy name, which you have profaned among the nations to which you came. I will sanctify my great name, which has been profaned among the nations, which you have profaned among them, and the nations shall know that I am the Lord, says the Lord God, when through you I display my holiness before their eyes. I will take you from the nations and gather you from all of the countries and bring you into your own land. I will sprinkle clear water upon you, and you shall be clean from all your uncleanliness, and from all your idols I will cleanse you. A new heart I will give you, and a new spirit I will put within you. And I will remove from your body the heart of stone and give you a heart of flesh. I will put my spirit within you and make you follow my statutes and be careful to observe my ordinances. Okay, what's going on here? As God is preparing to bring the children of God back into the land that God had promised to Abraham and their ancestors before them at the end of the time of the exile, God speaks these words. Words of correction to this community of faith. And the correction begins with, "Therefore, say to the house of Israel, thus says the Lord. It is not for your sake, O house of Israel, that I am about to act, but for the sake of my holy name, which you have profaned among the nations to which you came." If you remember back to all of those times we talk about the exile here in worship, the whole exile is built upon the fact that the people of God have not been faithful in their observance of God's law. They have not been faithful to their acknowledgement of God who is the Lord. They have profaned God's name amongst the nations. But here, God is preparing to bring them back. God has, through this time of exile, which is a time of correction, He is now preparing them to return to the covenant promise once more, to build faith and hope and community. And God, here in this passage that of which He's speaking in Ezekiel chapter 36, God is acting so that the nations will look upon the things that God is doing, and they will know through the seeing of these actions the true nature of God. They will receive revelation in real time as the people of God are returned to the land to which they had been promised. And likewise, here in Psalm 23, as we listen this morning, we observe that the true source of our comfort is the Lord, who reaches out in compassion and mercy and lifts up the downtrodden and gives rest to the troubled, because that is God's nature. What a wonderful image it is that we receive here in Psalm 23. It is revelation in real time, revelation in real life. And these words stand for us as a model to guide our actions as the church as well, to bear the name of God forth into the world in our own time as much as the people of God bore His name in the past. As God welcomes the reader of Psalm 23 and rejoices in the fellowship that exists there between us and the divine, likewise, we have in our reading from the Acts of the Apostles this morning this idea of the centrality of the fellowship of the church to our faith. That we should be united and joined together in the praise and worship of God, this thing that we do when we gather in this space. But that then should impel us into other things. That we should gather as a community for not just worship, but also for fellowship. Both fellowship at the table that is before us, where bread is broken and wine is poured, and we remember the saving acts of God played out again and again in real life and in real time through the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. But also around meals shared in other places. Acts notes how the community of faith gathered in their own homes and shared what they had with one another as an act of devotion and fellowship and of a marker of what it meant to be the church of Jesus Christ. For there, in the fellowship of the church, in the gathering of the faithful together, there, the true nature of God, of the God who gathers us by cooling streams and who feeds us with tables that are overflowing, is fully revealed as we gather time and again for His name's sake to proclaim the goodness of the Lord and the fellowship that we enjoy as followers of Jesus. to affirm that no one is ever alone. For his name's sake, we gather here. We are the church, and we have the opportunity to be revelation in real time, revealing the love of God to all who would join with us. Thanks be to God. Amen. The Belgic Confession, which I know you all read every night before you go to bed, is one of the confessions of the Reformed Church. And Article 23 of the Belgic Confession deals with the justification of sinners and of the presence of our God. And so we read responsively this morning from this confession. We believe that our blessedness lies in the forgiveness of our sins because of Jesus Christ, and that in it our righteousness before God is contained. As David and Paul teach us when they declare those people blessed to whom God grants righteousness apart from works. And the same apostle says that we are justified by God's grace as a gift through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus.
And therefore we cling to this salvation, which is firm forever, giving all glory to God, humbling ourselves, and recognizing ourselves as we are.
Not claiming a thing for ourselves or our merit, and leaning and resting on the sole obedience of Christ crucified, which is ours when we believe in him. This is the good news of the gospel. Thanks be to God. Hear, O church, our God has prepared a table before us, and our cup indeed overflows. So let us give generously from our common wealth as our way of praising God and giving to those in need. Let us now present our tithes and our offerings. Let us pray. Holy and generous God, you have anointed us, and we are yours. Bless these tithes and offerings, that they may become green pastures and still waters for any and all who need your comfort and restoration. Amen. Friends, will you join me in prayer? Let us pray. Shepherding God, we acknowledge that we live in a world fraught with dangers, where lives and livelihoods are not honored, and we are oppressed on all sides. Help us to hear your voice this day and come and go through your gates. We pray for the whole church. May we stand as a beacon of hope in our world. Help us to be devoted to your word and to the universal fellowship to which we have been called, being generous to all who have need. You, O God, created the world and all that is in it, and declared that it is good. We pray for this world, for green pastures and still waters, that we may restore them to the goodness and the purity that they had at the time that you created them. We pray for the people of the world, their nations and leaders, that your wisdom and your peace may govern all, so that no one may live in fear. And as you assure us of your attentiveness to all our needs, we pray this day for all those who are in need, for those in want, those who are ill, and those who are dying. May the banquet that you set before them be an anointing of them, feeding them and comforting them in your name. We pray for ourselves, our families, and those who we love. Surround us with your care, that no one might live in fear and that all may dwell in your presence. Blessed are you, great God, our shepherd, who through Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit gives us goodness and mercy and leads us down your right paths, restoring our souls until that day when we abide in your kingdom forevermore. We pray all of these things in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord, who taught his disciples to pray in this manner. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Our closing praise for this morning is hymn 304 in the Book of Praise. We praise you, Creator. A little note. In this particular hymn, the French words appear above the English words. Now, that doesn't mean that if you feel so moved to sing in French that you are dissuaded from doing so, but for those who are going to look for the English words, they, 1, 2, 3, French, un, deux, trois, and then 1, 2, 3, underneath. Let us sing hymn 304.
We praise you, Creator, in all.
And now, let us devote ourselves to the teachings of the gospel, to your prayers and our Christian fellowship each day, for they will lead us to a glad and generous heart. And may the God, who calls you by name, lead you out to green pastures and lead you in to the safety of Christ's fold this day and forevermore. Amen.